Mick Miller is a high-performance coaching expert and joins us on Australia Overnight. G'day, Mick.
Hey, how are you, Alan?
Good, thanks, Mick. Mick, we had a big chat a couple of months ago when the America's Cup was being run in the Bahamas, and look at what an amazing event that was.
An incredible event and an incredible outcome with Team New Zealand now taking the cup back to New Zealand and getting ready to prepare to defend the cup in the next couple of years, which will be very exciting for all the new sailors coming in, and also really exciting for Australia because there'll be a lot of people stopping off in Sydney to before they fly over through to Auckland, which will be really great for everybody.
And maybe many people have forgotten too that the impact that Australians had on that particular America's Cup event. You know, Australians were everywhere. They were the trailblazers, weren't they, who were doing incredible things in actually winning the cup.
Very much so, and not just so much on the water, but also off the water. There's a lot of engineering and design and structure and management. There's a lot of Australians involved. And interesting enough, Alan, there's a lot of rumours floating around at the moment of maybe an Australian syndicate actually coming from Australia to go challenge over in New Zealand for the next cup, which
wow.
is... I'll keep you posted on that one.
Okay, well, someone's going to have to raise an awful lot of money because it doesn't come cheap.
No, it won't be coming cheap, but these fellows that are in, that are getting mentioned, luckily, have got some fairly big piggy banks.
Mm. Excellent. Mate, we're here to talk about something else. Look, I remember a few years ago in Victoria, in Melbourne particularly, it looked as though the footy team called Footscray was going to fold. And there was a lady called Irene Chatfield who really got some momentum going and saved the football team from pretty much oblivion. She did a great job in getting it going. Of course, they did change their name from Footscray to the Western Bulldogs. And I think most people have learned to live with that as the city's name. But over in WA, things have really gone pear-shaped for rugby union over there.
Yeah, very, very, a very sad occasion over there in WA with the rugby, with the Western Force now being shut down. And, it might go back to the courts. I'm not too sure with that whole legal procedure.
Yes, looking like it.
And it seems like there could be a big financial backer maybe coming in to try to support them or even set up a different competition. But at the moment, when a team, departs from a city, especially a one-team town like Perth with the Western Force, I mean, we're a tribal unit, and then when your tribe hasn't got a team to follow, it's a massive void. It shows... your territory, your team colours, your passion, the sacrifices that you go into to follow the team, the sacrifices that the team goes into to go on the field every week. And the big thing too, Alan, which is really interesting, is that now that those players aren't on the field every week in, week out, and doing community services and all those things, a lot of people lose their mentors, lose a role model, lose a hero, lose a person that gives them some inspiration. And that's probably the biggest focus that I can see when a team actually leaves a town, that those things I just mentioned are no longer there. And for not just a young child, a young boy or a young girl, it could be an adult. It could be it could be a grandparent that actually follows that team that no longer has that team to follow, or that passion to follow, or that mentor to follow, or that role model to follow.
Yeah, indeed. Look, we do know that Western Australia is an AFL state, as is Victoria and as is South Australia. So what was the following for Western Force in WA? Did they have a good following?
They've got a very big following. And interesting enough, Alan, the demographics over there, there's a huge South African and a huge New Zealand base of people that actually have moved to Perth. From those countries, so they've brought over their passion for rugby union, and the crowds and the membership and the support over there wasn't wavering. It was more of an Australian rugby union decision to actually make the competition a little bit smaller and try to get away from the demographics of actually flying to Perth and actually having to play over there.
Indeed, apparently they even looked at the Melbourne Rebels. They had to make a choice on whether it was going to be Western Force or whether it was going to be the Melbourne Rebels. And, of course, the Western Force are the ones who have lost out. So do WA feel like they really have lost, a major force in the sporting community because of this?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And, Perth doesn't necessarily have to be a big town to have a big supporting group. But, there's a lot, you know, there is the AFL, but really, apart from the AFL, I mean, you know, there's not a lot, you know, this, I mean, there's a lot of kids that want to play AFL and then probably play both AFL and rugby union, but when a whole code is shut down from the authorities above, it's a massive void. I mean, there's still a lot of great players coming out of the Western Australian junior rugby union programs that are all looking to play professional rugby or use it to go to university or use it just to get through high school. And it has a huge effect. It has a massive domino effect of not just the elite players, but all those other players and coaches and people that get up on a Saturday morning that want to, you know, have the barbecue going. I mean, that's all passion and purpose to live. And when you take that away from a, you know, because a team is actually shut down, that has a huge effect on the whole demographics of that town.
Was it because the Western Force were losing a lot of money? Was that the reason?
It was interesting enough. I didn't go fully into the politics of what was going on there, but the ARU not only looked at the Western Force, they also looked at the Melbourne Rebels, as you mentioned, but they also looked at the ACT Brumbies as well, of shutting them down. So they had a choice of three teams to look upon, and in the end, it was more like, you know what, we're going to decide to take the Western Force down. And legally, the Western Force are owned by the Australian Rugby Union, so they were able to do what they wished to do with that team.
Indeed. I see that Twiggy Forrest, he put his hand up and said, look, I've got a lazy 50 mil lying around that I'm happy to contribute to keep it going, but it wasn't enough.
No, it wasn't enough, and I'm not too sure the whole ins and outs of the financial deal that Twiggy was trying to offer to the Australian Rugby Union and also to the Western Force. But in saying that, though, I'm hearing some really strong reports that Twiggy's going to set up his own competition in WA.
Yep.
And you know, it's a bit more than just putting players on the field. There's, you know, administration and a whole series of things to run, not just one team, but a whole series of smaller teams. But I've got a feeling that he's actually going to pull this off, and I think he'll have a really, really cult following. And again, people love to follow it, you know, a tribe. They want to be involved with the tribe. They want to be part of that passion and have that love and support and know that they've got their team colours and a bit of banter that goes with, you know, with the competition as well. So I'm hoping that, you know, Twiggy can actually get that out of the ground and deliver that. Interesting enough, the Wallabies are getting a lot of media at the moment.
Sure.
Maybe not winning games, but having a bit of a go. But a couple of weeks ago here in Sydney, they had the Sydney competition of rugby union, which is not a very big competition, but it's like the feeder to the Australian rugby team. The Australian rugby union have sort of like said, we don't really want to be involved with this competition. So they've sort of like pushed it aside. They had the grand final of this competition, and they got over 20,000 people to watch this grand final, which for a club rugby game was really
not bad.
Big. But the biggest thing that was really interesting enough at the game was that when both teams ran on the field, they had a run nearly to the middle of the field, and there was crowds. The crowd was on both sides to make a tunnel to allow the players to run on the field.
Mm. Yeah.
Young people, old people, kids. And then they all got off the field, the crowd, and let the game happen. And then halftime, the crowd came back on the field.
Yeah.
And I caught up with you and had a bit of a chat, and then they all got off the field. So it was a huge community base that people really, really enjoyed. And I think maybe, you know, the Australian Rugby Union might have just slipped out of that zone a little bit where, you know, they've gone maybe too professional and not looking at, you know, the grassroots of where these players and teams and families all come from.
Indeed. Look, it's a sad state of affairs for Western Australia to have the rug pulled from under them, and with Western Force being closed down. Twiggy has said that he might even look to being part of an Asian tournament.
Very much so. And, you know, interestingly, with your last comment there, you know, that it's a little bit sad. But in saying that, Alan, you know, one door closes and many more open.
Yeah, quite true.
Ziggy can get the six teams out of WA, or even three teams from WA up in a competition that's actually now, you know, competing with the Asian market with Japan, which rugby is massive in Japan.
It's
a huge sport, very big sport in Japan, and demographically, the fly teams in and out would be great. I mean, I haven't even touched on the financial impact of when a team closes down in a town. you know, there's less baggage handling at the airport because there's less flights coming in with the teams. There's less cups of coffee being sold at the airport. There's, you know, there's all these. It's just a massive flow-on effect when a team actually shuts down. So I'm really, really hoping that he can actually get something out of the ground and not prove Australian Rugby Union wrong, but just go back to community and go, look, this is what we can offer, and let's get another competition going.
Let's hope that the impact isn't as severe in the future as it appears to be right now. Mick Miller is a high-performance coaching expert. Thanks for joining us, Mick. Tell us about your website where people can find out about you.
Just go to www.mickmiller.com.au and you can find out everything about me.
Always good fun having a chat with you, Mick. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.